Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Give your neighbor a high five and say, Jesus is here. Come on, Tim, say, Jesus is here. Hey, listen, it is an absolute honor and privilege to be here with you guys tonight. Is this your first men's meeting of the year? Is that right? Yeah. Come on, how many are ready for 2020? I heard it's the year of double blessing. Let me try somebody else. I said, I heard it's the year of double blessing. Talk to me, somebody. You ought to shout on that. That's a powerful, what a prophetic statement, the year of double harvest. And I think that's powerful. 2020 is going to be, I believe, that type of notion. God wants to do something on planet Earth, and I believe it's going to happen with the men. Two people. I said, I believe it's going to happen with the men. Come on, talk to me. I'm going to tell you right now, this is not a monologue, this is a dialogue, so we're going to talk tonight, and feel free to shout, scream, clap, say amen, and we'll see what God does tonight. But I do believe that, again, like I said, it's going to happen through men, and when brothers get together, the Bible says how good and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity, and that's how the anointing flows. And yes, when God wants to do something on planet Earth, he is looking for a man. Now, of course, we thank God for the women. We thank God what he's going to do with your wives, your sisters, your mothers. But God is looking for a man to be the head of his home. He's looking for some men to be some leaders. Come on. There's no ladies in here, so we don't go for it. I wore some stomping boots, and I got me this camouflage, because we're going to go after the devil tonight, and we're going to raise up some men. Come on, talk to me now, who are going to take back everything the devil stole. Can I get a good amen? Is that what we got? So I'm fired up to talk to guys. I love talking to the fellas because I kind of feel like I don't have to, you know, kind of qualify every statement because it's the fellas. Come on now. And so don't get all sensitive on me tonight and be like, it's too strong. It's the men's meeting. Come on now. All right. And so we're gonna go after it tonight. But it is something specific that God wants to do in the men. And I believe that if a revival is going to take place, it's going to happen with men. That is why there is such an attack from the enemy against the men, you know. And I heard what you said. I agree. You, ladies get together and it's like just, they go to the bathroom in groups. You know what I'm saying? Like they all just come. But to get guys together, you know, it's like, who's going to be there? What are we going to eat? You know what I mean? And we're like, I'll see what's up. What does that even mean? See what's up. What's up? What's all what's up? Gaza. Get here. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to celebrate you. I want to build you up, not beat you up. You came tonight. And let's just come on. You're winning right now. Come on. Give God a clap. You're winning. Great job. You're in the house. You made it. Whether you ran here or you just barely just landed here or you don't know how you ended up here, welcome to the men's night. Come on now. It's good. But I know God's going to minister. But before I go any further into the mess, I do want to say such an honor to minister here tonight at a church that literally has touched the world and has even impacted our church. And I want to take a moment to honor your founding pastor, Pastor Jim Cobray. Come on now. Such a great man of God. It was your message of leading people to Jesus that inspired me to make sure that every service we lead people to Jesus. And some of my staff is here, and they'll tell you, we never do a service without leading people to Jesus. So thank you, Pastor Jim Cobray. You're touching churches all around the world. We honor you. We thank you for your legacy. And of course, your lead pastor, Pastor Dan Roth, to see the legacy. To me, the highest level of blessing is legacy. That I pray every man reaches that place. And so we honor you, Pastor Dan. Thank you. We know the future is bright with you and Pastor Jessica at the helm doing what God is going to do. I know you guys are going to take it from greater to greater to glory to glory. And you could just tell the anointing's on this guy. Come on, someone better clap for your lead pastor here. The anointing's on your life, brother. You got a pure heart. You want to see Jesus move, and it's going to happen. I believe it. And it's so strategic that you're having these type of nights to speak into the men. Because when a man gets it, okay, that's when change starts happening. I'm telling you, the devil got a headache about this room tonight. He is afraid. He is scared because when the men start catching it, it's serious. In fact, it's biblical. Now, I got a whole message. Let me just give you some. I'm just kind of like warming it up right now. We're turning. Come on. You know what I mean? It happens. It's biblical. Because watch this now. In the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that when Eve ate the fruit, it says that she gave some to her husband. And when Adam ate it, it says, then their eyes were open. So the eyes were not open until the man fell. Why? Because the enemy knows that if I can get the cover, If I can get the one who's supposed to be the covering over the family, if I can make the one fall, get him addicted to porn, I'm going already for it. If I can get him to be lazy, if I could get him to succeed in the world but to be spiritually dead, then I know that then the eyes of his children will be open to the wrong stuff. The eyes of his family will be open to the wrong things. But thank God for what Jesus did on the cross, that I don't have to live to my sin, my addiction. I don't got to live to anything because I serve a Savior. Talk to me, somebody, of what he has for us. So tell your neighbor tonight, say, we're going to be a covering. Come on, say, we're going to be a covering. Now, even if you're not married, listen, you're single guys. You're going to start learning to be a covering now. Because too many single guys trying to get girls under the covering. You need to be a covering. It's a men's meeting. You say amen. And I heard that, Pastor, it's like John Wayne at the front row right here. Okay, that's what I heard. So too many guys are trying to get girls underneath the cover instead of trying to learn how to be a covering. And that is why they have no anointing. But tonight, I believe God's going to inspire us through his word. I know tonight's going to move us, not because of the message, but because of his word. And I really latched on to this double blessing year, double harvest year. Because one thing I've been praying for is, God, raise up a generation of double portion. God, may what's coming next be even greater than what has come before us. We honor the past, but we're ferociously loyal to what God wants to do in the future. I believe that there is a greater harvest that is coming. Don't believe the drama, the news, the nonsense. There is revival that is happening on planet Earth, and I want to plug into that. Come on now. I want to plug into that. And I believe that in this, that God wants to raise up a double portion men and double portion marriages, double portion people. And so tonight, I really want to look into a key story where God called a man into a double portion life. In other words, God called him into something that was going to be greater to build upon the foundation that came before him. And I want to look at the story of Elijah when he called Elisha to carry a mantle into the future. So if you got your Bibles, I want you to go with me to two pieces of scripture. We're going to be in 1 Kings and 2 Kings. 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And if you don't know where 2 Kings is, it's after 1 Kings. And my wife, she tells me I'm very helpful at home too. She says, you're so helpful. I said, thank you, honey. So 2 Kings, I'm going to read two pieces of scripture. I think they got it up there. Did you guys get, I think in my habit, I sent over some notes. If not, it's okay. But 2 Kings, I'm going to read chapter 2. We're going to read verse 9 and 10. Then we're going to jump to 1 Kings 19, 15 through 16, then 19 through 21. And this will serve as our foundational text tonight. And then we'll break it down. And then we're going to got this. God's going to move. Ahí vamos, ahí nomás, paciencia, vamos a entrar, okay? 2 Kings, sometimes I just start speaking Spanish, okay? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Okay, are you there? Okay, here's what Elijah said to Elijah when he was going to carry it into the future. Someone say double harvest. Someone say double blessing. The Bible says, and when they had crossed, Elijah with a J said to Elijah with an S, he says, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? He says, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Someone say double portion. Verse 10, he says, so he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. So in other words, he said, let me have a double portion. I want you to say this. Say, Lord, I'll take a double. Say it again. Say, Lord, I'll take a double. A double of what? A double of his anointing. A double of his miracles. A double of his blessing. Come on. I believe God will take double of salvations this season than we had the previous season. I want a double, Lord, of what heaven has for me. Because the problem is too many are asking for a double in the wrong places. Let's just move on. 1 Kings, now go to 1 Kings. The story of a double portion didn't start in these two verses, but it started here. But I just want to establish about this double portion. It says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 through 16, this is where the actual double portion calling happened. In verse 15, it says, then the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus where you are there. And he says, and anoint Hazael king over Aram. And watch what God is going to tell Elijah. He says, also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint who? Elijah. So notice, he says, anoint him. So he's now calling the calling of when Elijah actually got called. He says, the son of Shaphat of Abel Mehalat to succeed you as a prophet. Jump down to verse 19. It says, so Elijah went from there and he found Elijah, the son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen when he himself was driving the 12th pair. And Elijah went up to him and he threw his cloak around him. I want you to see here that he threw his cloak. It was a mantle and he threw it on Elijah. He said, Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. And he said, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye. He said, then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done for you? So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He had a men's night garnisala right there. See, yoke of oxen. Okay, he says biblical. See, it's right there. He burned the plow. Someone say he burned the plow. Equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah, and he became his servant. I want to talk to you tonight that if we're going to become men of double portion, double blessing, it's going to require these two little words that are some of the most biggest things you'll ever give to God, and it's this: all in. Let's tell my message tonight: all in. Say it with me. Say, I'm all in. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you for the men. Actually, Lord, I thank you for the households that are represented here tonight. Because when a man is here, he represents his house. And Father, when a man gets right, and when the blessing is on him, it spills over to his children's children's children. And Father, I pray tonight that you would meet us here. God, that you would speak to us, deal with us, challenge us, and Holy Spirit, convict us. Feel free to do a work inside of us, Lord, for your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, asundering both the soul and the spirit, checking the attitudes of our heart. Challenge us tonight, God, that we become the men you have called us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. All of God's people say, amen. Come on, give God one more clap. Why not? Because we're doing. And give your neighbor a fist pump and say, I'm going all in. Just say, I'm going all in. I want to talk to you tonight about this double portion, double harvest of what I believe it looks for a man to go all in. And I believe it's going to talk to us tonight through his word. But before I do say that, is I think that if we're going to recognize what God wants to do in our lives, you got to recognize that some ordinary days can become extraordinary. Some absolute normal days, God can do something supernatural. He doesn't call you to be super normal. He wants you to be supernatural. And sometimes we don't see God doing something. Like, there'll be a lot of times in your life you're like, God, I don't know what you're doing. But I'm telling you, in a moment, God can put something in you and on you that will change everything. I'm talking about years of prayer coming to fruition. It's happened to me. In fact, actually last year, one specific prayer that I've had for years was one of my brothers. You know, we were raised in a single parent home and a Section 8 housing. I mean, we were poor. We were so poor, couldn't afford the art. We were just po. Come on, talk to me. You know, and we were po. I mean, we'd go to KFC and lick other people's fingers. I mean, I'm chill. Come on, that's terrible. I know. We were poor. So, you know, we survived, you know, just helping out each other. And one particular brother, he, you know, kind of turned away from the Lord, and I've always been praying for him, and you know, he's kind of struggled, had, you know, got addicted, and different things took place, and he ended up having a child out of wedlock, and of course, I was there for him, praying for him, and he finally came to a point where he wanted to surrender to Jesus. I'm like, man, thank you, Lord. I had been praying for him, witnessing to him. And he finally recognized, I want to get right with God. And we were at my mom's house watching the game. We were watching the Rams beat up the Cowboys. And I already lost half the crowd. Anyway, sorry, I know. And I didn't pick on the Raiders, though. You should be happy. Anyway, so they're being the Cowboys. And my brother had been talking to me about how he wants to get right. You know, he finally wants to be an example for his son. He doesn't want what we were raised in. And so I'd been praying for him to surrender to God. And so we were, you know, eating mama's home cooking. You know, mama's getting down in the kitchen and tamales and tacos. Like tonight, you guys got it all right there. I about almost had him a tamale before I preached, but I said, I better not. Come on now. So mama was getting down. And then my brother, I was talking to him in between the plays and the little commercials. And he says, you know what, bro, I just want to get married, man. It's like, you know what, I just want to do it right now. I'm like, right now? It's like halftime, man. Like, right now? He says, yeah. I want to surrender to Jesus, and I just want to get married. And he's like, I just want to do it now before I change my mind. He said, will you marry me? I said, well, first you got to get a marriage license. He's like, I'll do all that, but can you just marry us right now? I'm like, we about to have a halftime show right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, And so I said, he's like, yeah, I just want to get right with God. I said, well, if a man want to get right with God, you know. And so he had already had, you know, had gotten engaged to us. He's like, I just want to do it now. So we ended up going ahead, and we had the greatest halftime show sponsored by Mama's Home Cooking. It was incredible. And so I said, okay. So we, of course, they went and got the marriage license, made it official and all that. But we went and we did it. And my brother happened to be, my other brother's a guitar player. So I'm like, we're a walking church service. We just went for it all. You know what I mean? And so anyway, he ended up giving his life to Jesus. He's like, I want to get right with God. And what I'm trying to tell you is that morning, an ordinary day brought a 15-year prayer to fruition. And what I'm trying to tell you is when you walk with God, the double harvest blessing is God will take an ordinary day and he'll answer prayers that you prayed 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 month ago, and he will fast forward into this season. Why? Because God, I want to see a double portion and a double. Oh, you want to put an amen on that? Like you're going to see unexpected miracles. And you know what? I speak that in Jesus' name. May this be a year of unexpected miracles. You say, I thought it was going to take 10 years. God says, I'm going to do what took 10 years in 1 year. Why? Because you got right with God. Shout amen. Now, the reason I say that is I want to bring into retrospect is the context of this guy, Elijah. Because the Bible says that this guy, Elisha, actually was having an ordinary day. Now I like to preach with illustrations because my mind sometimes is kind of like, oh, I get it. I think in illustrations. So Pastor Louis, coming up here. This is one of our campus pastors. Come on, give it up for Pastor Louis. And I'm like, come here. I want you to just right here. Be on this. Just grab it. Yeah, grab there. We're going to put this in the middle. Yeah, just hold it just like that. Thank you. You can get a workout today. If you were hardcore, you'd be curling that right now. One, I'm joking. Come on. I want to show you this. The Bible says, let me give you the picture here. The scripture says that God spoke to Elijah. Now, I'm Elijah. And Elijah was the one who had seen God do mighty miracles. And God speaks to Elijah with a J, and he says, Elijah, I want you to go and anoint Elisha with an S. Now, there's two different dudes here. Elisha to be a prophet who's going to do double portion. So he speaks to Elijah to anoint Elisha. The scriptures that we come upon, the Bible says that Elisha, in the verses we just read, let me build you the context here, says that he was just plowing the ground. In other words, was just another ordinary day for Elisha. He was plowing the ground. In other words, he was doing his work. He was making sales calls. He was closing deals. He was, you know, doing business. I'm just trying to correlate it so you follow what I'm saying here, okay? Ordinary day. But God was speaking to Elijah about Elisha. And it's here where I want to tell you is that God is always talking behind your back. Tell your neighbor, say, God's talking behind your back. Say, God's talking behind your back. He always is, but good news is he ain't stabbing your back. He's building you up, okay? He got your back. I love this picture because this picture shows me what's going on in heaven. Is while I think I'm just doing my everyday, dealing with the bills, dealing with mama, dealing with baby drama, come on. God is talking to somebody else about me. He's talking to somebody else about my situation. You think you're just going about your day, but God has something he's trying to put on your life. And I just want to tell some man tonight, you don't think heaven got your attention, but actually God has been talking about you all day long. I love this. So watch this. This is great. I'm telling you, read the Bible. It's good stuff, man. He's like, oh, you want to anoint him? Okay. So Elijah, the Bible says, is that he goes, and this is going to be a cloak, right? This is a mantle. Boom, just in case you're wondering, all right? Okay. Just happened to work that way, but I just thought I'd throw it in there. Is the Bible says that Elijah doesn't even say anything to Elisha. Follow me here, okay? We're talking about double harvest, double portion, going all in. And the Bible says that Elijah just walks by Elisha, doesn't say a word. It's just, boom, just throws it on him and just keeps walking. Doesn't say a word. Read it. I just read it to you. He said he walked up to Elijah and threw the cloak on him. Just drive-by, mantle, cloak-throwing ceremony. Some of y'all been through the drive-bys. We won't talk about that, okay? I've been through them too. You always can tell who has because when they hear things pop, they don't move. They're like, what? Anyway, come on. All right. Anyway, so he throws it on him, okay? And when he throws it on him, he doesn't say a word. Now, I love this picture. The scriptures are always teaching us, okay? Here's what happens. Is God puts a mantle on him. Now, what the mantle represents is the mantle was a representation of a prophetic calling. Some will say prophetic. This was a mantle that he would be anointed to be a prophet. He would be anointed to do something for God. Now, in the Old Testament is Jesus concealed. The New Testament is Jesus revealed. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, Pastor, we're not in the Old Testament, and don't you be throwing a mantle on me tonight. Okay, that's no. We're not clothed with a mantle. We are clothed with Christ. And if you don't think that when you come to church, God is not trying to put something on you, then you have missed the Bible. He said, take off the old self, take off the old you, and put on the new you who is clothed in Christ. Tell your neighbor, God's trying to put something on you. But I want to show you this picture. Is he throws it on him. He says, there's more in you than you see of you. Woo! I'm talking to somebody tonight. Elijah, with an S, all he ever saw himself was as a plow pusher. I just work a job, Pastor. You know, I just got a profession. Can I tell you that God didn't create you just for a profession, but he created you for a purpose? I wasn't designed. Now, praise God, you go and do business and you go and do all that, but don't you give up what you should be clothed with just because you got a profession now. Just because I'm a businessman, just because I do stuff. Now I take off Christ and then I put on Christ. I'm in church. What's up, everybody? No, there was a purpose. And some of you are going to carry this in different areas than others, because God's going to call some of you into different spheres and atmospheres, okay? All the way from the high rise all the way to the highways. You need to carry Christ into big platforms. Some of you need to carry Christ into million-dollar rooms. Some of you need to carry Christ into Skid Row. You need to carry Christ. We need to carry this mantle wherever we go. Can I get a better amen? Okay? Don't you lose your purpose once you start getting a little success. You know, guys are. We need Jesus when I'm broke, but when I'm okay, Lord, I don't need you no more. I got a little bonus, you know? No. He puts it on. Someone say, put it on him. He throws the cloak on him. We just read these verses. I'm now breaking it down. Okay, I'm in the context here. And he put it on there. Now, what I love about this is great, is that Elisha never asked for this. I read it to you. We never revealed that Elisha was actually praying for this mantle, which means that God saw more on Elisha than Elisha saw on himself. God threw it on him while he was just plowing the fields. Scriptures don't reveal to us that he actually ever asked for this mantle. So here's the point. God is always trying to put something on a man than he sees on himself. Is God trying to put something on you tonight? Because you know how we are. You're like, Lord, I didn't ask for this. Why do I got to do it? Because God sees something in you that you don't see in yourself. And he's trying to put something on you as a man. I know what we often see. And listen, nobody has to be harder on you. You're harder on yourself, okay? That's how guys are. Nobody has to beat us up. We beat ourselves up, okay? We're taking time bombs, you know? And the truth is, all of us in this room right now, yes, we're men, and yes, but the truth is, in your own head, some of you be doing this. And we beat us. That's why suicide rates are higher with men than women. Did you know that reason why is because women always talk about everything they're going through. Guys don't. We implode before we explode. It's because we put, and we're out about this, but tonight, God's trying to put something on you. He's trying to put a word on you. He's trying to put something on you. God, tell the guy next to you, God's trying to put something on you. God's trying to put something on you. Okay? Don't go matrix on the Lord. You're like, no, he's not. You ought to see what I see when I preach. People are like, that's not for me. That's for him behind me. Almost got me. You almost got me, Pastor. Almost cried, but I did it. I almost went to the altar. Almost. Yeah. Whoa. Hey. You know? Listen, God's got something for you. He puts it on him. This is great. Then Elijah does this. Now, this is so powerful because what God was doing to Elijah is this may appear as an interruption. Because Elijah could be like, I'm busy, Lord. I got a lot of things going on. You know, I'll come listen to a message. Thank you for this, put this mantle. But tomorrow, I got a lot of stuff to do. You know, I got, you know, the deals. I got things. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. But we shouldn't get so busy that we can't respond to God. Okay. I got some points. Stay with me. I just want to lay the foundation. He puts this on him. And what I love about this, okay, is that God put it on him. But Elijah, watch this now, had a choice to make. Was this going to be an inconvenience? Or was this an invitation? Because we all read the Bible backwards. Because we know, well, double portion and double miracles. But it would have never happened if you viewed this as an inconvenience, not an invitation. Could it be that what we may view as an inconvenience from God is really an invitation to the greatest legacy of blessing and double portion for our lives? Could it be that the devil makes you look at prayer as an inconvenience, reading your Bible as an inconvenience, coming to church as an inconvenience, sacrifice as an inconvenience, tithing as an inconvenience, fasting as an inconvenience? Is it really an inconvenience, or is it an invitation to something greater that God may have for you? Come on, someone shout amen. Actually, somebody give God a praise if you recognize that it was an invitation and now you're on the other side of God's faithfulness. Real talk, okay? This is not an inconvenience, it's an invitation. In fact, that's what salvation is. God invites us. The Bible says that no one comes unless Christ comes to us. It's not my preaching, it's Jesus in your heart. He's calling you to himself. He invites us. But we got to be willing to say, God, I'm all in for you. That's how it happened in my life. When I came to Jesus, man, I'll never forget. When I got invited to church, it looked like an inconvenience. But I didn't recognize that it was an invitation to my greatest call. When I came to church, I'll never forget, I got invited. They invited me to a Sunday night service. The problem with Sunday morning is always after Saturday night when you ain't saved, you know, come on. Pray. It's real time. That was before I was saved, you know. So they invited me, and I went to church. I didn't want to go. They had to force me to church. They called me like 3 times. Come to church. And then final call was, we're picking you up in 15 minutes. Click. I was like, look at my bro. I'm like, bro, this crazy lady's about to pick me up for church. What should I do? He's like, bro, you better get dressed. I'm like, oh, great. Like, cover for me. He's not here. You know, come on. Anyway, 15 minutes later, get a horn. I'm in the car on my way to church, mad. And I'm sitting in church, mad. Maybe like some of you tonight, but it's okay. It's just all right. Mad. I don't know why I'm here. I sat way at the back, and I was like, I don't even know why I'm here. And then I'd never been to a Christian church, so I walked in this Christian church for the first time. It seemed like a total inconvenience. I'm like, my whole thing of church, people are jumping. There's drums. They're clapping. There's lights. And if they pull out snakes, I'm out of here. I don't know what's going on right now. It's real talk. So I'm sitting way at the back, and then the guy starts preaching, and I never paid attention to church, but this particular time, the way he was just articulating the scripture that I never heard was just something that really touched me at a deeper level. But now that I know what it was called the Holy Spirit. Talk to me, somebody. He talked. There was depth to it. He talked about Mary and the alabaster box. What are you willing to give before God that is so precious to you but can mean so much to God? And I said, well, there's a couple things I can give to the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I closed my eyes, and he said, hey, if you need Jesus in your heart, raise your hand, and I'll pray for you. I'm like, well, I got plans tonight. You know, all right, preacher, pray for me. I got a lot of things I'm up to. And he said, if you raise your hand, I want you to come down here. I'm like, bro, you didn't say that part. Come on, talk to me. And I'm like, I'm out of here. I got up. I was going to walk out of the church because I'm like, this is a total inconvenience. And I was going to walk out of the church, but something said, you done crazier things. Smoke this, okay. Yeah, come on, somebody. You know? So I'm like, all right. I came up to the altar. I said this prayer. I really don't even know what I prayed, but I said these words, and they gave me a Bible, and that's why we still give Bibles to this day, because the Word of God. And then after this service, we went to In-N-Out, because that's where you go. You're in and out of hell. Anyway, and so they took me to In-N-Out, and then they dropped me off at home. They're like, okay, see you later. And I remember I was in my room. I was all jacked up. I'm like, what just happened tonight? I knew something had changed, but what seemed as an inconvenience had now started germinating something in a deeper part of me that I never knew even existed. Now they seem like the seed of hope. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. What did I just say? And I remember I grabbed my Bible. I had never read the Bible. I always thought the book of Job was how to get a job. J-O-B. Anyway, and I just flipped. And it landed on Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ strengthens me. And I'm like, God, you know my friends. You know my life. You know what I'm possession of in my lower drawer. Come on. I said, I can't do this. I said, God, if you give me the strength, I'll do it. I remember I grabbed my room. I grabbed all the stuff that was ungodly. And then I had an ounce of weed, and I smoked it one last time. Just kidding. Flush it down the toilet. Some of y'all need to get saved. Flush down the toilet. What seemed like an inconvenience, remember I turned my pager off. Y'all know nothing about pagers. Turn my pager off. That's OG texting. You know, turn my pager off. And I went back to school. But I didn't recognize that what was an inconvenience was actually an invitation. Because that girl who invited me, today her name's Marie Silva. I put a ring on it. That phone call, that crazy lady who actually called me, later would become my mother-in-law, but the person who would ordain me and now why I'm doing what I'm doing today was because of that person that had the audacity to bring me to church. What am I telling you? What I'm telling you is what may appear as an inconvenience might be God inviting you to the greatest destiny of double harvest, double portion, blessing, not just for you, but for your children, children, children. I wish there were at least four guys that would stand up and tell the devil, I ain't gonna let you any longer pass down generational curses, generational strongholds, but I'm gonna pass on generational blessing. I'll go through the inconvenience of prayer. I'll go through the inconvenience of integrity. I'll go through the inconvenience of no more addiction so there would be a bloodline of Jesus on my family. Oh, you wanna give God a shout like there's some men that are gonna go, oh, someone shout all in. I want you to give five guys a high five and say, we're going all in. Say, we're going all in. We're going. Come on, five guys. We're going all in. We're going all in. Not half in. I'm going all in. Oh, Lord Jesus, I promise you I have points. I promise you I do. I'm still in the context. Pray for me. Someone say all in. Elisha, what you going to respond to? What you going to do, Elisha? Are you going to throw that thing God's been trying to put on you? Go back to pushing the plow? Or are you going to respond to the prophetic thing God's trying to put on your life to change your family lineage? Are you going to push the plow just like your family's pushed the plow? Are you going to repeat the same thing? Because see what the scriptures tell us about Elisha. As he was a son of Shaphat. He was not from a priestly lineage. He was not from a pedigree of everybody was fantastic. His family tree, they smoked it. Sounds like a lot of us can relate. They were hard workers. There was no doubt about that. But God was inviting Elisha to say, would you bring now a spiritual mantle into your legacy? What you gonna do, Elisha? You're at a men's meeting. What you gonna do, Elijah? God's been talking to you. You know he's been putting stuff on you. If you figure it out, I'm not talking to him, I'm talking to you. What you gonna do? You're gonna view this service as another. He's trying to put something on me. What you gonna do? Or are you gonna keep pushing the same plow, hoping for a different result? So Elijah, which is great, he has to make a decision. You gonna drop it? What I love is that Elijah never told him to drop it. He just has put something on. And the scripture says that Elijah, he dropped it. Something touched Elisha that moment that was unlike any other moment that he recognized for once in his life, maybe God is speaking to me tonight. He's been dealing with me. And I'm tired of just doing the same old, and expecting a different result. I'm tired of Satan getting my father's marriage, my grandfather's marriage, my grandfather's marriage. I'm tired of my family being a lineage of alcoholics and abusers and women abusers and gamblers. And I'm tired. And he felt something. And he decided, I'm going to come after Elijah.
And the Bible then says, watch this, put the scripture up there. He ran. This is great. The Bible says he ran. Look, he says, Elijah then left his oxen, and then what did he do? Here's your first point. Write this down. So at least we said there was one point in tonight's message. God is looking, not if you're able, but he's asking, are you available? Never said, hey, Elijah, do you got the pedigree? Do you got the education? He says, do you want a mantle? And the Bible says that Elijah ran. So in a moment, I want you, you guys don't know Pastor Lou, he's a runner. I don't know why he does that stuff, but he runs like 8 miles. He just runs. On his lunch break, he likes to run. And I'm like, you're crazy. On my lunch break, I am not thinking about running. I'm running to McDonald's. I'm chilling. Come on now. Amen. Now, maybe not McDonald's, but Chick-fil-A. This is God's chicken. Anyway, so the Bible says he dropped it. Then he ran. He ran. This is the way to respond to God. Too many men, come back. You won't get a workout tonight. Too many men pick the plow back up. They want to follow God like this. Bring the plow. No. I'll follow you, God, but can I bring my plow? Can I bring my addiction? Can I bring my habits? Can I bring my sin? He dropped it and he ran, which is, I call it the Joseph principle. Remember Joseph? Remember when Potiphar's wife tried to get frisky and fresh with him? Remember? She's like, ooh, you're cute. You are such a man of God. But some of us guys were dumb enough to believe it. Like, maybe I am. You're like, oh, it's Delilah, y'all. Okay. Yeah, maybe I am. Finally, somebody recognized it. Oh, come on, no. Okay. No. Remember Potiphar's wife trying to get fresh on him? He's like, ooh. And then she was like, hey. You know, like, everybody else like trying to get his attention. And then remember what Joseph did? What did Joseph do? Stop. I better not. All right, let's meet up. No! We gotta talk about it. It jumped on my screen. Come on, man of God. It didn't jump on your screen. You've been thinking about it all day long. The problem is we run to the wrong stuff. I love this principle because if you're thinking, Pastor, how do I get free? And I could pray for you, and I can pray for you, and I could baptize you, and praise God, you need to do all those. But at some moment, you are going to have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you are going to have to run from sin, run from addictions, run from lust. You're going to have to run from the devil. You're going to have to run from that stronghold, and you just got to run. Tell your neighbor, say, run. Don't run right now. The ushers will get you, okay? But run! You got to learn just to run for your life, man. I am running. And what is the point? A double harvest, double portion man has to run after everything God has. Are you ready to run in 2020 for everything God has for you? And I'm telling you, that is a man that will leave a legacy of blessing and double portion. It becomes a man with a mantle. Man who runs. Shout amen. Amen. He dropped it and he ran, the Bible says. Then he ran. So run to me. Let's do it one more time. Just drop it down. Come over here. Come over here. And he tells Elijah, he says, Elijah, he tells him, this is the scripture. He says, Elijah, let me go say bye to my mom and my dad and I'll be right back. And Elijah says, what have I done for you? In other words, if you do it, that's on you. It's your decision. In other words, nobody can make a man do anything. You know that. Come on, say amen. Okay. No, he says, so he goes back. Then Elijah does something crazy. This guy is awesome. This guy, man, this is a man's message right here. Elijah, the Bible says, goes back and he grabs the plow. And the scripture says that, well, you know what he does with the plow? This crazy man of God, he actually gets the plow. He starts breaking the plow. Then the Bible says he burns the plow. I mean, he just starts going like, this is where you know it's a man. He's like, I'm about to just jack all this up. He starts burning the plow. Then you know this is a man's message. He's like, I'm going to a carne asada on this one. He starts barbecuing, the Bible says. Nothing like, I see it's biblical. We got to barbecue, you know what I'm saying? He starts barbecuing on this thing. Why did Elijah burn the plow? Because this was Elijah saying, I'm going all in. I'm going all in. It's the only way it works for a man, by the way. And you know that half in don't work. He burned the plow. Nowhere in the scripture do we read that Elijah said, hey, Elijah, burn your plow. God never asked him to burn the plow. This was Elisha's doing because he was manning up. Because he was taking, watch this word, responsibility for his own decisions. Four claps. I'll keep preaching until I have more people get it. Because he said, I am not no punk. I'm a man of God. I am not going to be ran by the devil any longer. I'm not going to run to my sin. I'm going to run to my Savior. And if anything's going to die, it's going to be the old me. If anything's going to go down, it's going to be the old me. If anything's not going to move forward, it's going to be the old me. Because there's a new me that's happening after men's boot camp. Because I'm going to burn everything that's going to try to take me back. Come on. Somebody shout amen. Tell somebody, say, burn that plow. Burn it. And he burned this plow, which was a metaphor of him saying, I'll never go back. Men's boot camp. The only way 2020, year of double harvest, is going to work, if you did burn the plow. All in. I'm going all in. 2020, I'm all in. I dare you to give God 1 year of your life all in. All in. I dare you. You know, guys, I double dog dare you. Double stamp, all that. All I double dog dare you. I dare you. Some of y'all done crazy stuff. I dare you. Okay, I'll do it. You know, no, I dare you in 2020 to say I'm going to go all in for God. All in. Like all in. Not half in. Not in on Sundays and then out on Monday through Saturday. Not all in only when I'm in town, but when I'm out of town, shit, no. All in when I'm at home, but I'm half in when I'm on a business trip. It got quiet, but I'm gonna keep preaching it. All in when everybody's home, but half in when nobody's, mama's not home, and I'm just. Let this be the year, men's boot camp. We say, God, I'm all in. God, you got all of me. You got my mind. You got my heart. You got my life. You got my family. You got my finances. You got my future. You got my focus. You got my perspective. God, you got my word. I'm going all in 2020. And let me tell you, not what Josiah's saying, not what Pastor Dan or Pastor Jim is saying. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that he will pour out a blessing where you will not be able to receive it. Why? Because when you go all in for God, he goes all in for you. You ought to give God praise. Shout amen. A new level of blessing always requires a new level of surrenderance. Always. That's what scripture tells us. Tonight, this is what God's asking you. And I came with a simple word, but a very powerful second point. Write it down if you can for me, brother. Is this, it's up here. Are you willing to burn the plow and go all in? Are you willing? Tell your neighbor, say, are you willing? Tell your second choice neighbor, say, you're my second choice, but are you willing? I still love you, but are you willing? Shout amen. You see, this year didn't make sense. God ain't trying to make sense. He's trying to make purpose. Never try to live because people say, no, Elijah, what are you doing? That doesn't make sense. You need to have an option in case this doesn't work out. You never know. And that's why it never works out, because you're never all in. There's no such thing as 99% commitment. There's only 100%. 99% commitment don't work for nobody. You know, we need to go all in to what God has for us. Watch, I love this revival verse in Acts. Go to Acts 19, 17, and 19. They're going to put it up on the screens if you want to turn your Bibles or you can. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. I love this revival. Let me get the worship team up here. We're going to pray for some men. I believe some men tonight are going to burn some plows, and they're going to go all in. Watch this here. Acts chapter, this is a great revival verse in the New Testament. Watch what happens here. This is what the scripture says. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus. Can I say it like this? The story of all the men going all in spread quickly throughout San Bernardino and to the the ends of the world. The Jews and the Greeks, a solemn fear descends on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Verse 18, many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. Verse 19, a number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at the public bonfire. The value of the books was worth several $1 million, the New Living Translation says it. What does it mean? That when you decide to go all in, it's going to cost you. It might cost you money. It might cost you friends. It might cost you status. It might cost you influence. But I'm telling you, nothing is worth the me giving up my purpose in heaven. I won't go to hell for nobody. What will it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Somebody shout all in. And then watch verse 20, and then I'm out of your way, and we're going to eat some tamales and tacos, but we're going all in for that. Come on now. Verse 20, it says, so the message, look at the result. So the message about the Lord spread widely, and what did it have? Why? Because they went all in. Could it be the reason the message is not having a powerful effect is because it's being demonstrated by men that are only half in? Message spread. No, you don't understand. The men at the Rock Church were, no, they're all in. Like that, they're fully surrendered. I mean, they're all in. And the message started to spread. They couldn't even contain the breakthrough revival that was happening because they started going all in. Your family will start going all in. It's a fact. Actually, even statistics say it, that when a woman gets saved, the family is 30% likely to serve God. But when a man gets saved, it goes up to 90%. 90% the family will serve God. That's a wonderful statistic. But you know who knows that? The devil knows that too. So he goes, perfect. I'll just take out the guy and I'm 90% that won't serve God. So who do you think he's after? You. We got to go all in, fellas. We got to go all in. All in. There's this move, you know, ESPN sometimes they have, and I don't propagate gambling, so don't gamble, okay? But there's this move called All In, where they take all their chips and they put it all in the middle. And that's when the game gets intense. It's when they just get all the chips and they go, I'm all in. They look at their cards, they go, I'm all in. And what that means is I either win or I lose. But they're doing that based on their cards. Can I tell you, don't tell God, I don't know about my cards, Lord. The things I've been dealt with, Pastor, if you knew my wife. You don't know my cards. If you knew my mother-in-law, Pastor, if you just knew. If you knew my kids. If you knew my wife's kids, you know, I know a lot of blended families today. They're like, my kids are good, but that kid, that ain't even my child, Pastor. Like, you know, I'm on somebody. It's real talk today. Bad. The cards, I ain't going all in on these cards. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm just using that metaphor. Again, don't misinterpret what I'm saying, okay? I go all in all the time, Pastor. Here's what I'm saying. People go all in for a joker. They go all in their life. For cards, they ain't gonna get you anything. You go all in for things that will fade. You go all in for a relationship that you know is ungodly. You risk everything for a moment of pleasure. So you mean to tell me you're going all in on those moments, but you won't go all in for God? Wow. You're going all in for a substance? You're going all, I mean, you're risking your whole life for that drug. Wow. So don't tell me going all in for God is a risk. The truth is many of us have gone all in for things that were much more lower. But tonight I believe God's calling these men to go all in. What can happen to San Bernardino and to the ends of the earth if they were tonight a couple of hundred men that said, God, we're going all in for the double portion. Come on, give God one more hand clap. I want you to stand to your feet and let me pray for you. All across this room. Come on, all across this auditorium. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, this is God calling out some men tonight. He is calling, he is putting something on you. There are two types of men I want to pray for tonight. The first type of man I want to pray for tonight, with every head bowed, just bow your head all across this auditorium. We're going to lead men to Jesus in a moment, but here's the thing I want to say, is if tonight you're in this room and you recognize that there is something God has been trying to put on you. You recognize that God has been trying to clothe you with Christ. He's been trying to clothe you. He's been putting a word on you. He's been speaking to you. Maybe a calling. Might be to go to a small group. Might be to lead a small group. Might be to start serving, start tithing. Something God, he might be trying to put something on you. Might be forgiveness. What is he trying to put on you? Because the Bible says, take off anger, malice, slander, rage, and put on the new person. What is he trying to put on you? If you recognize tonight God is trying to put something on you, just in your own heart and in your own mind, I just want you to say, that's me, Pastor. I want to pray for you. There's something God's been trying to put on you. It might be a heavy calling. Some of you called to do greater levels of ministry. There is callings. There are mantles that God's trying to put on your life. If that's you, when I count three, raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. One, two, and three. Say, there's things God's putting on me. Things God's putting on me. Come on. If you want God to put something on you, raise your hand. Say, God, put something on me tonight. Put something on me tonight, Lord. Put it on me. Challenge me, God. Call me out, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God ain't finished with you yet. I said, God ain't finished with you yet. God is not finished with you yet. You might have lost a job, but you did not lose your God. God ain't finished with you yet. You might have lost a relationship, but you didn't lose your relationship with Jesus. He's not finished with you yet. She might have said, I'm finished with you, but God didn't say he's finished with you. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. People might have said they're done with you, but God is not done with you. God says, I am about to do a work. Can you not perceive it? Behold, I do a new thing, says the Lord, Isaiah 43. Thank you, Father. You're putting something on these men tonight, that you're putting on them a call, an anointing. You're putting on them, Father, a mantle for this generation. They're going to be men with a mantle. They're going to be married men with a mantle. They are going to have an anointing upon their life where devils shall be cast out, where healing will take place. Souls are going to be saved, Father. Revival is going to come to workplaces. Their whole department is going to get saved because of them going all in for Jesus, God. Their whole company is going to know you, Lord, because they're going all in for Jesus. I thank you tonight, God, that we are going all in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Next one here. Put your hands down, everybody. This next one. There's something you got to burn to go all in. Every level of obedience always requires a bigger level of surrenderance. Every higher level of blessing, there's always a greater level of surrendering. So right now, you know there's something you need to burn tonight. 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 Something you just need to give it to God. Whatever it may be. You might know, is it a toxic relationship? Toxic friendship? Is it an addiction? Is it a sin? Is it a stronghold? It might be something as simple as resentment. It might be something as simple as you need to let go of the previous offense you had. You need to burn that because that's hindering you from trusting a church, trusting a pastor, because you have offense in your heart and you're missing out on what God has for you. And tonight, if you're like, Pastor, tonight I want to just burn what is going to try to hold me back. For this one, I am going to call you out of your seat. And tonight, these are things you want to give to God and you want to fully surrender. I know this place is packed out and not a lot of space, but I just want to emphasize right now is that we're going to say that your chair is where you are, but when you step out is where you're going to move closer to God. Now, God is not more up here at this altar than he is at your chair. God can speak to you at your chair. Believe me, he can. But tonight, sometimes we've got to do something in the physical to represent something in the spiritual. That is why we sing in the physical to represent a spiritual worship. That is why we often lift our hands, because it represents a spiritual, something physical represents something spiritual. That is why we pray in the physical, but in the spiritual, it moves mountains. And I just want to do this spiritual act of you saying, I'm leaving behind the old plow and I'm moving forward to what God has for me. This might not be for everybody, but I feel at least for somebody that I want to give you the opportunity that someone gave me to come all in in for Jesus. So if that's you, when I count to three, I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to contemplate it. I don't want you to go, well, let me see if so-and-so goes up there. It's not about them. It is about you. It is about what God wants to do in your heart and what God wants to do in your life. It's about you saying once and for all, I am not going to let the enemy hold me back any longer. I'm going to run after everything God has for me. Here we go. Ready one, ready two, ready three. Come on, just run out of your seat and come. We're going to fill up these aisleways. We'll fill up this altar, and I'm just going to pray with you. Come on, come, 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 come. Don't be embarrassed. This is a place of healing. This is a place of prayer. If there's any place you can get real, it's in church. This is the place where God wants to work. Come on, just run, 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 run. Nobody's going to shame you. We're going to pray for you. This is a brotherhood. We're going to lock arms. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We are in this together. Come on, how good and pleasant is it when brothers dwell in unity. Your being on fire for God is going to raise the threshold of the quality of man of God. You raise the threshold with your commitment to God. Cause yourself to burn for the Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost, that men are going to respond to the call of God to go all in. I thank you, Heavenly Father. All of us, Father, there's an area. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's all say this prayer together. It's an all-in prayer for a moment. I'm going to pray for those that are up at this altar, but also you're at your seats, but it's an all-in prayer. Say this, say, Lord, I'm so glad I came tonight. Say, I now recognize through your word that you're calling me. You're putting a mantle on me. And I'm going to respond. Say this, say, Lord, I'm all in. Say 2020 will be the year that I will run after everything you have for me and my family. Here's my life, Lord. Say, I surrender. Say, forgive me of my sins. And forgive me, Lord. But starting today, I'm gonna go all in. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.